as I continue to preach in your hearing, in the series, within a series, building and battling, while waiting and watching, part 7. Second Coming Chapel, message number 291. 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 1 through 7. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. You see here that Peter and the other apostles, they did not have a problem referring back to one another and referring back to the Old Testament prophets and writers. They understood something that the Lord taught me a long time ago. When you stop trying to be original and just do what God has commanded you to do, you find it a wise thing to bring others on board in the sermon. They help back up your writing, they help back up your message, and they add authority to the message. There's nothing wrong with quoting others, as we see Peter doing here. He says that you may be mindful of the words, not just my words, but mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Both and. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, or water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. Holy Father God, we are weak and feeble, but we know that you're almighty and strong. And so, Lord, give us your strength, give us your energy. And Lord, give me your strength and your energy, your unction and your anointing, and the power of your Holy Spirit to preach your holy word once again in this series. And Lord, I do pray that you would crush and crucify everybody's flesh who names the name of Christ, and fill everybody with the fullness and the power of your Holy Spirit to hear your holy word and have your holy word to find a lodging place in the hearts and minds and lives of your people, to encourage them to keep on keeping on for you until you come, And Lord, we pray that your Holy Ghost would move upon the hearts and grab hold of the hearts and minds and spirits of those who don't know you as Savior. Please bring them under conviction, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls. For we are reminded of your holy word tonight. It is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. Glorify your holy name. Lift up your holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, Dr. A.W. Pink said the first time, and this may sound kind of hard, but it's good. The first time Christ came to slay sin in men, the second time he will come to slay men in sin. It's in the words of Bishop Daniel White Jr., my father who's in heaven. It's tight, but it's right. Beloved, in our last message in this series, we saw how we can trust in Christ's second coming because of how God has acted in history. Sometimes you have to go back in history and point to something that God did in the past and then read his word, and when he says he's going to do it again, you would be wise to believe him. God intervened in history through the flood to judge the wicked, and he will intervene again to judge all who follow their own lusts and do not repent and trust in Christ Jesus as Savior when he returns in judgment in the future. So the big point number three today is, as we come to a close in this series, we can trust in Christ's second coming because of God's word about the future judgment. We can bank on it, we can count on it, we can be assured that it is coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 7 says, but the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. God spake the world into existence, as Psalm 33:9 says in reference to the creation. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. That same word of God which put the earth, the sun, the moon, the other planets, and the stars in their positions, the same word which brought forth life and sea and life on earth, the same word has reserved the world we are living in right now to judgment by fire. The sensational nightingales sang, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. And since there was water, there will be fire. Please do not think anybody gets away with sin in God's world and God's economy. That's not happening. And so you can break bad and pump your little puny fist in God's face and do your evil and your uncleanness and your ungodliness, and you can curse God and reject Jesus Christ and mock and swear and be arrogant. But just remember, as the wisest man who ever lived said, King Solomon, you can do what you want, but you will be brought into judgment. And in the New Testament, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. You can cop whatever kind of attitude you want to cop. You can be stubborn and disobedient to the authority figures that God has bestowed, has placed you under. You can be disobedient and dishonoring of your parents. You can commit adultery. You can commit fornication. You can commit the abomination of homosexuality and lesbianism. Just understand, it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment, and judgment is coming upon this earth. This time, as someone said, it will be the fire next time. So do what you please. My advice to you is to believe the gospel, that Jesus Christ came into this world, he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for our sins, having never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. He died for our sins to pay our sin debt. He is the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God who has taken away the sin of the world. He died for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. And he says in John 3:16, whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. My strong advice to you, God won't make you and I can't make you, but my strong advice to you is to go ahead on and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and start following God and following him and God's word, so that you can be ready when the fire starts falling upon this earth. And when God brings tribulation on this earth like has never been seen before, if you think that this plague is something big, if you think that this winter storm is something big, this is a walk in the park. This is a picnic compared to the wrath of God that's going to come upon this earth one day. You can go on with your unbelieving heart. You can go on with your jam boogie lifestyle. You're whoring around, you're whoremongering around, you're lying, you're stealing, you're cheating, all about the Benjamins, all about the money, all about business, and all about making that next deal, all about this life, no preparation for the next life is not wise, but you can do what you want. But King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said, I'm going to say it again, he said, you can do what you want, but you will be brought into judgment. Everything you're doing is being recorded. If Google can record everything you do and then read it back exactly to you how you did it, you can rest assured God, who created Google and created the men and women who created Google, he can keep record of everything you do. If Google can, And the internet can keep abreast of your history on the computer without even effortlessly, not even trying. And then you can click a button and read where you've been for the past 10 days, what you've been doing. And there are people who are not even in your household who can find out where you've been going. They got it as soon as you go, as soon as you touch certain keys, they know exactly where you're going and where you've been. And by the way, you're under surveillance whether you like it or not. They're watching you. They're watching you through your phone. They're watching you through your Kindle. They're watching you through your iPad, through your computer. They're watching you when you get in the car. They know everything you're doing. And they can get you if they want to. You're under surveillance by God, first and foremost, and by others. And my point is, if man can watch you, then you know God can, with all of the help he has as well. Angels are watching you. Everybody's watching you. And so everything, every thought you ever had, everything you ever did will be brought before God in judgment one day. So do as you please. It's your choice. God's not going to make you, and I can't make you. But my strong advice to you is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray and ask him to save you. Humble yourself down and follow him for the rest of your days. That's the best thing you can do. Dr. Adam Clark said the present earth and its atmosphere, which are liable to the same destruction because the same means still exist. For there is still water enough to drown the earth, and there is iniquity enough to induce God to destroy it. And may I say to you, God's mercy and grace is great, greater than all our sins. When you go to hell, you're going to know that you know you should go, because you're going to see for yourself how long-suffering, how gracious God was to you, how many opportunities and how many chances he gave you. And so there is enough iniquity to induce God to destroy it, and his inhabitants are nevertheless kept in store, treasured up, kept in God's storehouse, to be destroyed, not by water this time, but by fire at the day of judgment. You can poo-poo on it. You cannot believe it, you unbelieving people, even in church. You can try to play games with God, and you can think that God is so loving he would never destroy this earth. He would never cast us into hell. Let me stop you. God does not cast anybody into hell but the devil and the false prophet. You cast yourself into hell by not believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God in the flesh. From all this, it appears that those mockers affected to be ignorant of the Mosaic account of the formation of the earth and of its destruction by the waters of the deluge. And indeed, this is implied in their stating that all things continued as they were from the creation. They understand something, they know something, these mockers. But Saint Peter calls them back to the Mosaic account to prove that this was false. For the earth which were then formed had perished by the flood, and that the present earth, etc., which were formed out of the preceding, should at the day of judgment perish by the fire of God's wrath. That's going to happen in the future, as the earth being destroyed by water happened in the past. is going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. You better get ready and bear this in mind. God told Noah in the rainbow sign, it won't be water, but fire next time. I know I can't sing, but you get the message. This is not the only time in the Bible that the end of the world by fire is warned of. Isaiah chapter 66, verses 15 and 16 says, for behold, the Lord will come with fire and with his chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Then in Malachi chapter 4 verse 1, the Bible says, for behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all of the proud. You know what's behind most sin? Pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness. And the truth of the matter is, some people really have this bad. They have what I call Pharaoh style pride. And in most cases, my dear friends, I hate to tell you this, if you have the Pharaoh style pride, you're going to hell. In most cases, only God can deliver you from that kind of pride, my dear friend. Pharaohistic pride. It's the kind of pride that it will bend a little bit, but it won't break. Heavy judgment will come against it, and it'll bend backwards, but it won't break. It'll pop right on back up as soon as that chastisement or that judgment is gone, and that ugly pride will bounce back. That ugly pride, that Pharaohistic pride, that Pharaoh-style pride, will go to bed humble and wake up proud. It's a bugaboo. It's a root of evil in the lives of some people. And some people have it bad, and some people have it bad from a generational curse, from an ancestral curse. It's a demonic thing. And they may get punished, they may be chastised, but they will bow up. They would rather be punished and chastised than to humble themselves and be blessed. God's going to deal with the proud now. See, God can't help you if you're proud. God can't let you in heaven if you're proud. He can't have another proud devil in heaven like Lucifer. Satan? No, he's not going to let the people who are proud into heaven with him. As soon as they can, they're going to try to take over heaven. And he's going to have to cast you out again. Cast you out, rather, just like he cast out the devil. And all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly. See, pride produces wickedness. Because you have no respect for God. The proud have no respect for God. They have no fear of God. They refuse to humble themselves before God. And they shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. It's going to burn its slap up completely. Wicked, proud, devilish hearts will be destroyed. In Matthew 3:12, John the Baptist warns that Jesus Christ will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, Paul says that the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. My. Rest assured, the destruction of this world is coming. The destruction of proud, devilish, ungodly, rebellious, disobedient, unyielding human beings is coming. Those who they knew about Jesus, but they refused to believe the gospel. Some were even in church, but they refused to believe the gospel. They just couldn't believe it. They saw it as a fairy tale, like these mockers that's in the book of 2 Peter. They just refused. They were so arrogant and so proud. They just could not believe the Bible. They deep down, they considered it a bunch of fables and fairy tales, myths, mockers. Dr. Thomas Constable said, God has given orders that the present heavens and earth will experience another judgment yet future. Then God will, with his word, destroy them by fire rather than by water. This will evidently take place after the great white throne judgment and before the creation of the new heavens and the new earth. The world is presently reserved for fire in the sense that this is its inevitable destiny, because of our wickedness and our sin defiling the earth. Peter teaches us that the God who created the universe by his word and sustains it by his power has by the same word and with the same power destined the world and the ungodly for destruction in fire on the day of judgment. As surely as the world was created and it continues to exist, it will be destroyed, and the ungodly who do not heed the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, those who do not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ with all of their hearts, that he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for their sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God, will be destroyed along with it. Make no mistake about it. Not gone with the wind, gone with the fire. God's word of the coming judgment ought to motivate us, my beloved. If for nothing else, to warn those around us to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ before it is eternally too late, so that they will be saved from the wrath of God to come. Thomas of Celano said, day of wrath and doom impending, heaven and earth in ashes ending, oh, what fear man's bosom rendeth when from heaven the judge descendeth, on whose sentence all dependeth, death is struck, and nature quaking, all creation is awaking to its judge, and answer making, lo, the book exactly worded, wherein all hath been recorded, thence shall judgment be awarded. What shall I, frail man, be pleading? Who for me be interceding when the just are mercy needing? King of majesty, tremendous, who doeth free salvation send us, fount of mercy, then befriend us. Think, kind Jesus, my salvation through thy wondrous incarnation. Leave me not to reprobation, with thy sheep a place provide me, from the goats afar divide me, to thy right hand do thou guide me, when the wicked are confounded, doomed to flames of woe unbounded, call me with thy saints surrounded. Oh, that day of tears and mourning, from the dust of earth returning, man for judgment must prepare him. Spare, O God, in mercy spare him. Lord, all pitying Jesus blessed, grant them thine eternal rest. Dear friend, is eternal rest before you, or eternal burning in the flames of hell? If you were to die today, where would you go? To the burning hell or to eternal rest in heaven? If you're not sure, if you don't know, and if you know for sure you would go to hell, dear friend, allow me to show you how you can be saved from hell and saved to heaven. I urge you, dear friend, to trust in Him, Jesus Christ, because He is coming again and you do not want to be left behind. So here is how you can place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ for your soul's salvation from the power of sin, from the pain of sin, and from the punishment of sin in that awful place called hell. First, dear friend, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, and so have I. You're not the only one. We all have, the Pope has, all of the popes from the beginning of the Catholic Church have sinned against God. The Dalai Lama has sinned against God. Even Joel Osteen, the pastor of the largest church in America, has sinned against God. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. There's a punishment for sin always, 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 in this life and in the life to come. Do not deceive yourself. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. For the wages of sin is death. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. We die because of sin, our sinful nature, our sinful choices. We don't die because of the coronavirus. We don't die because of a heart attack. We don't die because of cancer. We die because of sin in our lives, in our very bodies. In fact, we're all on death row. We just don't know when we're going to go. You will die one day. That's a fact. Don't you want to be ready for what's going to take place after you die? Your body will go to a grave. Your soul, as sure as you're looking at me right now, will go to hell if you have never truly believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and repented of your sins. And so, dear friend, thirdly, accept the fact that you are on the road to death and you're on the road to hell. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Hell is a serious place. It is not a joke. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And hell is bad news. But I have some good news for you tonight. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus Christ said the most loving, most important, and most wonderful words ever said to mankind on earth in the history of the world, when he said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Please rest assured that God loves you. He loves you so much he sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to pay your sin debt. Jesus Christ, who never committed a sin, the only man who lived on earth without committing a sin. He never committed a sin in word, thought, or deed. He went around doing good, raising the dead, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, making the dumb speak, feeding thousands of folks with just a little bit of food. He walked on the water like we walk on carpet. He got caught in a storm and told the rain and the wind to be quiet. And by saying, "Peace, be still." And they obeyed him. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He is the God-man. He is Emmanuel, God with us. His name is Jesus. So he suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for our sins, not for his sins. Was buried and rose from the dead by the power of God. And all you have to do is believe in him. Just follow his instructions. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, the word whosoever means anybody at any time, red, yellow, black, or white, we're all precious in God's sight. We might not be precious in each other's sight, but we're all precious in God's sight. Whosoever believeth, the word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. In who? In him, Jesus Christ. He was speaking of himself. Should not perish. That means as soon as you believe in Christ, instantaneously, your soul has been delivered from the hell you were going to, and now you are going to a new destination called heaven, but have everlasting life, just like that, because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for all of us. He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross for our sins, was buried, and rose on the third day by the power of God. And all we have to do is believe in him. And he will save us. Just believe in your heart, dear friend, that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. to be with God in Jesus Christ. The angels and the beloved family, the people of God, the saints, forever and ever. So, dear friend, if you're willing to believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm willing to lead you in the sinner's prayer, the calling upon his name. And when you believe in your heart, the prayer is just an expression of what's in your heart. They go together. Just repeat the prayer after me. Mean it from your heart, since you've never prayed the prayer before and you don't know really what it is and how it goes. And I'll be glad to help you with that. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have sinned against you in word, thought, and deed, through lying, through stealing, through lusting, through disobedience and dishonoring of my parents, and dishonoring of you by taking your holy name in vain. Holy Father God, as you know, I have committed many sins in your sight. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul, and please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I believe with all of my heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose on the third day. By your power, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to change from the inside out and help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your holy name, Lord Jesus Christ, I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the word of God, you are now saved from hell and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. Pardon me. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, by the grace of God, we'll be here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Central, 11 o'clock Eastern, and 8 o'clock Pacific. And then if the Lord tarries his coming and we live, I'll be back tomorrow night at 7 o'clock Central, 8 o'clock Eastern, and 5 o'clock Pacific. If you have a prayer list, please put our ministry on your prayer list. And if you need prayer, we'll pray for you. We pray for many others, and we'll be glad to pray for you as well. Make sure you pray without ceasing tonight for yourselves and for your family, for your ministry or your church or your pastor. And also, if the Lord would so lead you, those of you who are not struggling financially at all, those of you who are struggling financially in any way, shape, form, or fashion, due to the plague pandemic, due to the winter storm, don't even think about sacrificing anything to send us anything to help us financially in the ministry. Only those who God has blessed to be rich and they have plenty of money, and giving $24,000 is like giving $25 to them or $24 to them. If you want to help us to replenish the ministry after over five years of preaching the gospel every day, multiple times a day, and not taking a whole lot of time off to solidify the ministry and build up the ministry, and you want to help us reach millions more, we need $24,000, any amount that you can give to help us with that. And we have over 100 books that you can choose from, and you can choose a book of your choice, and we'll send that to you as a gift from our ministry. If you want to give, you can give through PayPal at gls@gospellightsociety.com. That's the Gospel Light Society evangelistic ministry account. You can give through Cash App. I don't know what the limit is, but you might know. And that's Gospel Light Society Cash App. If you want to just give the whole amount of $24,000, you can email us at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and we can send you the bank wire information. And you pray about it. If the Lord leads you to do it, do it. If he does not lead you to do it, don't do it. But you're sowing in great ground, because souls actually get saved through the preaching of the gospel, through this ministry, and people come back to the Lord through the power of the preached word and the power of the Holy Ghost. And by the way, my three oldest children, who are on their own, and they don't have to send this ministry a dime, but they are our biggest supporters, and they were raised up in it. And so if my oldest children support the ministry, you can be safe in supporting the ministry yourself. So God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, let's all stand for our closing prayer. Holy Father God in heaven, I pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you, Lord, for what you have done. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. I thank you, Lord, for what you will do. Thank you for the power of your holy gospel and your holy word. Lord, as this message goes across the country and around the globe, have your Holy Spirit to speak to the hearts of millions. And Lord, open their blinded eyes, unstop their deaf ears, and save their souls and change their lives. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, and for his sake, amen. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.